All right, GM guys, thanks for joining. We don't have any questions written out in the AMA questions channel yet. But there was a bit of a discussion like a few days ago about Soulfly, which is another DEX that has recently popped up within the Solana ecosystem. So I guess I'll just talk about that. Let me check something real quick though. All right, never mind. Yeah, so somebody posted a chart where looking at Jupiter's volumes by AMM. Radium at the top, number two is Solfi, followed by Orca. And then Radium's concentrated liquidity market maker, and then Liquidnet. So people were wondering why SoFi has so much volume. Yeah, so a little more background on SoFi. They are closed source. As far as I know, they're making no effort to build a community or anything. So there's very little information about them. But ever since they popped up, we've been doing some data analysis of the prices they trade at and their fees and things like that. And it's pretty clear that they're imitating our model, our market making model, that is Liquidnet V2. So that's where we rebalance to a fixed amount of the volatile asset in a pool. So they do that, and then the main other difference from us is that they use very low fees. Let's see. Yeah, so that's the main difference. And so they have a ton of volume, nearly three times as much as ours. Yet they have far fewer number of swaps. So that's very counterintuitive, probably, to a lot of people. And I'm just gonna say this off the bat, and there are some things that are simply better left unsaid, and I mean that for your sake, for the sake of the Liquidnet community, because it's alpha. So we can't talk about everything, but I'm gonna try to say the things that we are able to mention. So the main thing, this is the bottom line. Our pools are more profitable than theirs. So after seeing them pop up, we've made adjustments to how we're market making. I mean, basically it's the same thing as how we've made adjustments when the order books were our main competitors. It appears that they no longer are our main competitors. Now SoFi is our main competitor. Basically, it's competing for the same type of volume that we're trying to capture. So, profit, which is ultimately what we're maximizing for, is a function of trading fees and market making profit, as most of you are probably familiar with by now. Because if you look on our pools page, we break down APR by trading fees and market making profit. Yeah, so we can analyze these things for SoFi as well, and not just ourselves. And when we do that, we can see that we are more profitable. So yeah, like I guess the TLDR is like there's really no need to worry about the fact that they have a lot more volume, because yeah, we're more profitable. I mean, it is unfortunate that they exist at all because they are competition, like that is a fact. So if they didn't exist, our profit would likely be higher. But yeah, you can't choose who exists and who doesn't. And sometimes we're even able to arb against their pools, because we don't use the same oracle. So they're not always negative towards us, although on net they definitely are. Yeah, so I think, like maybe what we really should have done was just never publish the V2 article, because it's just too damn good. It's so good that people have used the model, built it from scratch themselves, to capture some of the opportunity that we've been capturing all this time. Yeah, I mean, and like that's basically the reason why I'm not talking about things in great detail right now. Yeah, kind of unfortunate that like there sort of isn't a moat. Like the advantage is the intelligence of our market making algorithm, and therefore we have to keep it closed source, even though like in theory, like for talking about me personally, like I love open source. Like it's just generally great for humanity as a whole, right? But it's just clearly a bad thing from a business perspective. So we can't really yeah, make things open source. Or yeah, it would be a dumb thing to do for us. Yeah, I mean it's all just kind of weird because I mean we it's great that we got to publish the V2 article, and it was celebrated, especially in our community. But then the result of that is now we have competition. Even though we didn't open source, like even just sharing the idea of like what we innovated on, like yeah, I mean it's just kind of unfortunate. But anyways, yeah, like we're still doing great as a DEX. Like we're generating a ton of revenue. APR this month was like 38%, which I don't know, is that a new record? I can't remember, but it's certainly up there. It's one of the highest we've ever had. I mean, it's a high APY and DeFi in general. And we're at below book value, so Affinity is even more than fully backed and generating 38% APY. So yeah, there's competition, but we're still doing amazing. Is how I see it anyways. Yeah, so let me know if you have any more questions regarding that. I may be able to answer, may not be able to, but yeah, we'll see. Right, I've got a question from Smitten. So he says, "Hello Durden, how is it going with the audit process? Not that it's crucial for me, just asking. By the way, really happy and grateful for the rewards." Yeah. So the audit has been started, it's underway. We're still in like the early stages, and so So that means that it's mostly just the auditing company looking at the code and like looking for vulnerabilities themselves. There's not much back and forth, really. Maybe at some point there will be, but yeah, right now I think they're just taking their time working through the code. We actually have a lot of code compared to other projects, I believe, because we have like custom code for each one of our Oracle vaults on SandGlass. And the reason for that is because the way we get the APY information is different for each protocol, so they're all unique. So it's not like all one and the same. They're all unique and different. So yeah, so it may take a while. We'll see. But yeah, it's happening. Is basically all I can say. Like we haven't heard anything from them about like how it's going. And actually, like, I've never been through an audit process before, so like it's a first for me. I'm not familiar with like how exactly an audit looks like from beginning to end, but yeah, maybe most of the communication just happens at the end, maybe some in the middle. I'm not sure. We'll see. Finn says, "Thank you. You are welcome, sir." Smitten is my faithful GM buddy. Never forgets to say GM. Let's see. While perhaps people are thinking of questions, thinking if there's anything else to talk about. Let's see. So flares fell in price, I think mainly because Sol rose in price. If I'm not mistaken, some people were selling their flares so they could buy Lufinity. But I think we'll have enough revenue to easily replenish the Sol for buybacks. For flares, up to 1,000 soul, and there will be left over to continue the buybacks. I think that system is working quite well. Like the range in which we're providing liquidity is pretty reasonable. We're like even just this past month, like a bunch were sold, but it's still well within the full range of the 1,000 soul. So we're not like overly concentrated or under concentrated. Seems just about right. And then at the same time, there's also buybacks happening. So yeah, supply is being lifted. Let's see what else. Volumes on Eclipse, for those who pay attention, are at like an okay level. They're at the level that the highest level they've ever been. I mean, which isn't like super high, to be clear. But yeah, ever since like they announced public mainnet, it reached a certain level and it's kind of stayed there. I think we're just waiting for things to begin to be incentivized. I think that's when we'll see a lot more activity. And that incentivization should mostly come from Eclipse, but we don't know what their like precise plans are there, so we'll see. But yeah, if they want to increase usage, like they're just gonna need to run some incentives or just have an amazing app that just draws a ton of demand, but that's harder. Usually starts with incentives, which eventually leads to a breakout app or two. So yeah, that's where we are with Eclipse. And then SandGlass. We're doing the audit. We looked into, like, we're wanting to launch points markets. Actually, some people we mistakenly leaked the points market tab one time. Somebody noted noticed it and posted it in the chat. But yeah, that's something we're working on. Like, we would like to launch point markets for all the VRTs. That's like the LRT ecosystem being built by Judo. So there's like a bunch of new ones that launched recently. But with respect to like how far along they are with points or whether they have points at all, they're kind of all over the place. So yeah, we're there's a lot of back and forth with them, figuring that stuff out. But yeah, for those who are familiar, like Pendle, the way Pendle first rose to prominence was through these point markets for restaked ETH that were getting points. And so people would speculate on the value of points, buy points or sell points, and that created a lot of volume and high APYs for ETH, fixed APYs for ETH. For those who are selling their points. And yeah, hopefully a similar dynamic happens for these restaked SOL tokens on Solana. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Like, it could be difficult because, like, on Ethereum, that was all new. And so people were, I think, much more willing to speculate on the value of points. And you need those people. Like, if everyone's just selling their points, then, you know, it doesn't really work. There needs to be people who think the points will be valuable as well. But yeah, that dynamic kind of died down on Ethereum, at least. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see, like, how valuable people deem the points on Solana to be. But yeah, that's something we're working towards. We're also working to launch another market for Kamino. An asset being lent on Kamino. And there might have been one other one that's not coming to mind right now, but yeah, so those are some of the things we're working on for SandGlass right now. And yeah, I think that's about it. We have a new sticker for those who like stickers. A new banned sticker. So if you see a scammer, which, you know, they pop up on a daily basis, just rip that ban sticker. Let me show you guys. I'm just gonna post it in the chat. Oh yeah, look at that flare, that fat ban hammer. Idea was by White Turtle Bill, so thanks for that. Shout out to Maki for the sticker. Yeah, I think that's basically all I have to share from my side. Do you guys have any more questions? Please feel free to type them in the chat. I'll just riff a little bit more. Kind of interesting. There's like a, I don't know, actually I haven't analyzed or anything, but there's a seller or sellers who keep selling below book value. So I guess they just don't care about the price much. I mean, they care enough to sell gradually and not all at once to create like a massive price impact. But yeah, I think someone was analyzing it earlier, so I think, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it is like one seller who just has a bunch of I can't remember if it was VE Lifinity or Lifinity, but yeah. And even like when we performed the buyback to book value yesterday, there was like a large sell immediately after, which makes me think that they're using some kind of bot to sell their position gradually, like whenever there's an increase in price. So it could be interesting to see what happens once this individual or group of people is out of Lifinity to sell. In any case, the book value just keeps going up, so you know, regardless of what they do, as long as we keep generating profit, we can just keep dragging the price upwards gradually. So, although the book value is also dependent on the price of the underlying assets, so if Sol majorly tanks, for example, the book value will also decrease. Some people have called for us to sell some of our soul to yeah, just have more USDC, less soul, just so we have less exposure to the price of soul. It's something we will probably eventually do. And we're right about at the price where we want to start seriously considering that, because it's the Sol all-time high price. Yeah, so no one can guess what the top will be, but yeah, I think everyone can agree that it's reasonable to expect that to be somewhere above the all-time high. So yeah, that's something we are keeping in mind as well. I think I've said this before. Like, we don't want to try to be traders who like call when we think the price is gonna go up or down. But on the other hand, we're kind of forced to be that, just because we own the assets. And it would probably be a bad idea to do votes, for when to buy or sell. So we'll just be doing that with the team's discretion. Hopefully we nail it. We'll see. Some people were calling for us to sell much lower, like when price was, I don't know, 160 or 180 or something. So far so good. We didn't sell there. Yeah. Well, I think that's basically all I have to say. I don't see any more questions in the meantime, so I'll wait 1 more minute, see if anyone has any last minute things they'd like to ask. I guess one last note is that you might have noticed I decided not to do the spaces, or yeah, I decided to not do the community AMA also on Twitter spaces. It's always kind of a hassle, plus like there was next to no one there usually anyways. Most people seem to be here. So yeah, I think going forward I'm just going to do it here in the Discord. And yeah, then I will, as usual, post it on YouTube and upload it as a podcast afterwards. So yeah, I think I don't think anyone will be dissatisfied with that. If you are, let me know, I guess. Right, cool. Well, thanks for showing up, guys. Always appreciate it. And yeah, let's keep printing in this bull market. Let's fucking go. Right, have a great day, guys. See you in the chat. Peace out.